Christ raises his own father, the prelude. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, Hosea 12 verse 3a. When in the same hour two sons, Esau and Jacob, Genesis 25, were born to Isaac and Rebekah, a strange incident was recorded. At the birth of the twins, the younger grasped the heel of the older. But when the Bible tells us something like this, it is more than an interesting anecdote from the birth chamber. One should place the accounts of Genesis, the prophecy of Hosea, and the dogmatic perspective of Paul in line with each other, in order to know what actually took place here. Then one will get the following overview. When the child that was to become the patriarch of the people of Israel was born to Isaac, God revealed in that hour of birth the contrast between the flesh and the spirit, between those who do not serve God and those who do, between election and rejection, between the one who is born according to the spirit and the other who is born according to the flesh. Already in earlier generations, God had revealed the same contrast before the eyes of faith. Abraham had to leave his kindred and his people. Isaac stood over against Ishmael, and soon Jacob was to be there in contrast to Esau. But the bearers of those contrasts were steadily getting closer to each other. Abraham dwelt far away from his country and kindred, that one man and that large nation. But Isaac already stood much closer to Ishmael. Though these two brothers did not have the same mother, they did have the same father, and beside this, only a few years of life laid between them. But take a look now at Jacob and Esau. Between these two, the distinction was as little as possible. Not only did they have the same father, they also had the same mother. And there were not a few years between the birth of the one and the other, but both entered life in the same hour. They were already placed together in their mother's womb by the word of God. Thus they entered life with a difference of only a few minutes. But even these few minutes could never erase and eliminate what the flesh and the eyes have seen. These two lives could never be synchronized by the flesh, despite all the arts of reason. Why not? Because God's word intervened in the flesh with its full force. That divine word had predicted to Rebekah, even before the children were born, or had done any good or evil, that God in these two, and in their competition, would reveal the exalted law, that whatever is folly and offensive to the flesh is wisdom and power of God to the spirit. Before the birth of the children, three things had been revealed by the word. Two peoples would come forth from the one womb. These two would later collide with each other. Thus, for the second time, God put the enmity of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman between them. And God put the natural order, as men calculate it to be, to the side by his own order. For every order of man says, the older, Esau, will have dominion, and the younger, Jacob, will be a servant. But the word of the predestinating God said, the lowest, the younger, will have dominion, and the greatest, the older, will serve the younger. The younger would become the bearer of the rights of the older, so that no flesh would boast before God, so that it would not be the glory of the working man, but of the calling, commanding, creating, and predestinating God. This is what the word had spoken before the children were born. Thus the mother, who had kept all these things in her heart, would later understand that in that seemingly insignificant birth chamber anecdote, a prophecy and symbol was hidden. Already before his birth in the mother's womb, that younger child held on to the heel of his older brother. It was as if he wanted to catch up on those few minutes, which he, according to the criteria of man, would eternally not be able to do, and get ahead of his brother, just as someone would seize another by the heel to make him stumble, in order to get ahead of him. But it did not help Jacob. He remained the younger, and Esau remained the older. For before the children had even begun their competition, the providence of God had laid the hand of the one on the heel of the other in search of a prophecy. For that trailing Jacob would, according to the flesh, become the father of the Christ. But this becoming of father was a call of that word of God, that in the beginning was with God, that himself was God. He called, but was not, as if it were, Romans 4. Also every fatherhood. Thus Christ called here his own father. But he also brought tension between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. He opened a perspective of a battle between the law of the flesh and that of the spirit. And under the ensign of that battle, Jacob was born. The prelude was being performed. In that battle he would become the father of the Christ. And only in the recognition of this tension and this battle would Jacob be the bearer of the calling of the holy generation and belong to that community with patriarchal authority, in which the Messiah is brother, son, and Lord. Did you hear the prelude to the chorale of patriarchal authority? It is the theme of subjection to God's predestination.